ESPN Radio 1392.5. It's The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Alongside the best in the business, Angelo Carriero, I am your host, Brad Taylor. Thank you so much for joining us on this blessed Sunday morning. On today's show, a special guest, we have Jeremy Hives, the recreation director at I Am Third, and they do wonderful work with the youth of Lexington. They offer summer programs. He's going to come on this show and tell us about what they're offering the youth of Lexington here as the summer turns into the fall in their programs. Also, later in the show, we'll be talking NFL win totals. Yes, it's that time of year. 4 days from now, the NFL season will be starting. If you're like me, it's been sneaking around the chicken coop, and you don't even realize it's here, mainly because we don't see any preseason games. So yes, Thursday night football. Thank goodness the NFL is starting on time. So NFL win totals and our pizza money props coming up later, as well as, of course, the most profitable segment in Lexington radio, our Mac Daddy Stogie picks at the end of the show. Yes, by the way, if you weren't paying attention last week, 4-0 in our picks, including taking the Cubs, who seemingly had no chance against Luis Castillo and the Reds last Sunday afternoon, winning in what they call a rocking chair win out in the desert. Look up that on Urban Dictionary. All that and more coming up on today's edition of The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Thank you for listening. But first, did you watch that derby yesterday? It wasn't exactly a Tuesday afternoon qualifier at the Red Mile in the middle of September, but man, it did not feel the same. Our horse racing expert, using that term very loosely, Peyron Harris from Richmond, he gave us a horse that got scratched before the race, an art collector, although I thought he said fart collector. He quickly corrected me. But we'll give him another chance when the Preakness and the Breeders' Cup rolls around to be our horse racing expert again. But the Derby, it's just not the same without the people there. It's just not. But anyway, we've got baseball to talk about. We are the voice of the Reds here on ESPN Radio and 92.5. And the Reds have one thing going against them that they can't control. Time. We are now exactly two-thirds through the season. They've played 40 games now. There's only 60 on the schedule. So today would be the equivalent of August 1st in a normal season. Man, there's a huge difference between 162 games and 60. It just feels like baseball started just a couple of weeks ago. And they did. But the Reds, who have to be considered one of the biggest disappointments in Major League Baseball, if not the biggest, are lounging under the Mendoza line to qualify for this year's playoffs. And we've talked about all the culprits, lousy bullpen, manager who doesn't seem to know what he wants to do or how to handle the bullpen, Joey Votto batting leadoff. By the way, 17 games Joey Votto has batted leadoff now. He's hitting .241 when he was batting 30 at .185. Wow, David Bell's a genius after all. Who knew? Eugenio Suarez has been terrible. Where is Nick Senzel? Aristides Aquino playing? So many questions about this season. But the one thing that lingers in my mind, how they have not taken care of business against the also-rans of Major League Baseball. Against the Detroit Tigers, the Kansas City Royals. And now, in their current series against the Pittsburgh Pirates, they do not have a winning record against any of those teams this season. And before the season, the Reds had the easiest schedule in Major League Baseball because they had 20 games against those three teams that combined for 310 losses last year. So when you combine a franchise that invested a lot of money in this year and this year alone, and then you had the easiest schedule in baseball, it was easy to see why the wise guys out in the desert all had the Reds not just making the playoffs, but as a potential dark horse to make the World Series. But as we stand here today on Labor Day weekend, nobody's talking about World Series. In fact, even those whispers about qualifying for the playoffs are getting quieter by the day. If this team doesn't make the playoffs, is David Bell coming back next year? I don't know how you can bring him back. But when I look at a roster and I look at the win above replacement stat for the season, and I see guys like Tyler Mahle, Tejay Antone, Kurt Casale, Lucas Sims, and Tyler Stevenson, all with a higher win above replacement than your superstar Joey Votto, something has definitely gone wrong. The trade deadline passed on Monday, and the Reds decided to keep Trevor Bauer. Yeah, they'll get draft picks and compensation after the season ends, but that's another way of saying we're still all in on this season. Will they live to regret that in a couple of weeks? The numbers say, as of today, yes, they will. So in our little two-thirds of the way through the season stock market report on the Reds, stock way down on the team as a whole. Stock up on guys like Jesse Winker, Nick Castellanos, and somehow Kurt Casale has five home runs. Who knew? But stock way down on Shogo Akiyama, Eugenio Suarez, Tucker Barnhart, Mr. Mediocre himself, Anthony DeSclafani, and Mr. I'm going to pitch every day, Michael Lorenzen. Those are your main culprits. Well, that and a manager who seems clueless at times. So do the Reds have a chance to make the playoffs? Well, they still have five more games against the Pirates, the worst team in baseball. Then again, that hasn't helped them so far this year. Why should it start helping them now? So we look forward to today. Reds and Pirates again. Sonny Gray versus Chad Kuhl. Easy money today for the Reds, right? Yeah, the Reds are favored. Road favorite. Sonny Gray, 5-2, 3.19 ERA. And on August 14th, Sonny Gray went 6 2/3 against the Pirates, allowing one run and striking out 10. Easy money for the Reds today, right? Not so much. Remember that great start Sonny Gray was off to? The opening day pitcher? People questioned, why is it Trevor Bauer starting? Why is it Luis Castillo starting? After three starts, Sonny Gray, 3-0, 0.96 ERA. Holy Toledo, we've got a Cy Young candidate here. Well, that talk is all gone. Last five starts, Sonny Gray, 2-2, 4.94 ERA. And if you've put $1 on Sonny Gray every game this season, you're up 43 cents. Congratulations. But don't forget, in those eight games that he started, Sonny Gray's been favored seven of those eight games. So it's not like the public doesn't see what's going on here. The Reds are 5-3 in Sonny Gray's starts this year, but he was favored in seven of those eight. Again, not living up to expectations. He's just a microcosm of the entire team. Chad Kuhl for the Pirates, 1-1, actually a better ERA than Sonny Gray, 3.10. Career Chad Kuhl, the Pirates are 31-35 when he starts, negative 2.3% return on investment. Six starts versus the Reds in his career, 3-3, but a 2.94 ERA. But on August 14th, he faced Sonny Gray and he lost. He gave up three earned runs in five innings. He did strike out six. But today, the Pirates are a home dog to the Reds. Am I getting the better pitcher in Sonny Gray? Yes. Am I getting the better team in the Reds over the Pirates? Yes. Am I willing to put my hard-earned money on the Reds today to win this game? No way. For us, it's either the Pirates or nobody. We'll take nobody. You know why? They play a whole lot of other games all over the country. Surely we can find another one to put our hard-earned money in that gives us a bigger advantage. And please, don't call me Shirley. But for the Reds, time is of the essence. There's 20 games to go, and they're not a playoff team. You have to wonder, in the next 3 weeks, because that's all there is left in the season, 3 weeks. In the next 3 weeks, if the Reds don't make the playoffs, who's not going to be back next year? Bauer, for sure. Castellanos? Probably. David Bell? Probably. Joey Votto? Yeah, you're stuck with him. You've got 82 million reasons over the next 3 years why you're stuck with him. So the next 3 weeks are very crucial to the future of this organization, and especially what they'll look like next year. Conventional wisdom says with that starting rotation and all that money invested in these players, they should at least be able to make the playoffs. But the numbers tell us right now, it ain't happening. And that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio 1392.5. The bottom line with Brad Taylor coming up after the break. Jeremy Hobbs, the recreation director at IM3rd, is going to tell us about the great work that they're doing with youth sports programs here in the Lexington area. They do unbelievably great work, and it's an honor for me to have Jeremy Hobbs on to have him talk about what they do over there at IM3rd and tell their story. But first, Clark's Auto Service is a local family-owned business with a solution to all your auto repair needs. Family-owned and operated since 1983. Clark's Auto Service has kept up with a lot of changes in the auto repair industry, and they're committed to keeping up with technological advances that are coming every day so your car and truck can stay on the road. My car gets serviced there, and it runs like a dream. Clark's Auto Service. Make sure to contact them and stop by today. 764 Westland Drive here in Lexington. Phone number 859-253-1278, or check them out online, clarksautolexington.com. Jeremy Hobbs from IM3rd after the break, right here on The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor, ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5. ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5. It's The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Thank you for joining us on this Sunday morning. With us now, our next guest is the recreation director at IM3rd. He's Jeremy Hobbs. Jeremy, thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. I appreciate it, man.
Anytime, buddy. Tell us what IM Third is, and what do you offer the youth of Lexington? Because I've heard some great things about what you guys do at IM Third.
Yeah, man. Well, I appreciate the kind words. So IM Third Sports, we are a family ministry of Centenary Church here in Lexington. The name itself comes from a pretty familiar concept, right? So God is first, others are second, and I am third. And so kind of using this motto and this brand, we've been facilitating youth sports since 1997. And so we've just been a fixture in Lexington and in the surrounding area. We primarily exist, like I said, throughout Central Kentucky, but what many people don't know about us is we have some international partners as well. So we have done some training and some other trips, and so we've kind of connected with three different ministry groups who are operating kind of our sports ministry model in Costa Rica, Argentina, and Paraguay. And so our church has done a lot of work in all three of those regions. And so, yeah, we've got IM Third International as well. Locally, we're mainly known for our soccer and basketball leagues, but we do partner with a couple different businesses here in Lexington to offer some introduction courses to tennis and horseback riding. IM Third, overall, like when we say youth sports, you know, you're trying to think about what age is that. Well, we have some intro to soccer classes that are at 3 years old, and then we go all the way through recreation high school sports, too. So soccer, basketball, like I said, primarily, but we do have some stuff for some high school students as well that are just trying to get out and get active. Looking into 2020 and 2021, you know, we're hoping to launch a youth volleyball league and a flag football program, but obviously we need space and partners to do that, and so we're always obviously looking around for that. But and we've got a lot of stuff for kids and families, and like I said, we've been going on since 1997.
Closing out 2019, I see where IM Third had 6,600 participants in their youth programs. And as we all know, the pandemic shut everything down back in the spring. But you guys got back up and running in July. How did you guys get to that point?
That's right. So like a lot of businesses, man, we had a ton of momentum closing out 2019. So at the end of January of 2020, I'll just give you kind of just a quick recap. We had just completed our biggest youth basketball season to date with over 1,000 total participants. We had we were at the halfway point of our second season of winter soccer. We had just launched a kind of a hybrid soccer club, and so we were getting ready to get our inaugural season underway. And then kind of going into February, we had everything set up for our spring recreation soccer season and then our kind of newly formed 3-on-3 basketball season. And so, yeah, man, at the end of 2019, over 6,600 total participants that have done something in IM Third. And, yeah, we were ready to rock and roll to see what the spring has. And then, yeah, we just got hit with the pandemic just like everybody else. And so we just set some of our kind of priorities aside. We just kind of went through day to day, week to week, like everybody else. We thought the dust was going to settle, obviously, a lot sooner. But after we kind of got to April, we realized, man, it was pretty clear that schools weren't returning, and certainly youth sports weren't returning in the spring. And so From our sports staff, man, we were just burdened. We just felt like I said, we had a ton of momentum. We understand how just crucial the safety and well-being of everybody was, and so we just laid low. We did some engaging things on social media, and we put a couple of video announcements out to our members. But overall, man, our staff just kind of met internally throughout April. And almost week by week, we would come up with just kind of some different ideas and different concepts to see how we could do something in the summertime. It seemed like a lot of the information was trending that once June came around, there'd be a chance for our state to kind of launch youth sports back, but we just weren't sure, right? So for us, man, we just looked at July. We felt like July was kind of that opportunity that we could really seize. We felt like I said, June was going to be a lot of trial and error for different sporting events and restaurants and other businesses. And so we set all of our sights on July, man. And so ultimately, we just decided the best thing for us was going to be offering summer camps, daily summer camps for different sports, different activities, and really just really hammer home after the 4th of July. And so once our governor made the official announcement that youth sports could slowly phase back in starting in mid-June, we knew that July date was going to be exactly what we were looking for. And so we successfully ran 7 total summer camps and had over 50 coaches and instructors involved. And we were able to organize a ton of different things. We had soccer camp, basketball camp, tennis camp, volleyball camp. We had an equestrian camp. We had a couple different just kind of all-inclusive, all sports camps, and so we had over 500 total campers throughout the 7 summer camps in July. And so just really kind of answered a prayer, and hopefully it was something that was really positive for a lot of families.
Amen to that. ESPN Radio 1300 at 92.5. The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor and Jeremy Hobbs, the recreation director at IM3rd. Yeah, during these times when sporting events left and right are getting canceled, why are you going forward with these youth sports? Because I'm sure there's a lot of backlash for you guys going forward right now.
Sure, yeah, absolutely, man. So number one, being a church ministry and being a youth sports organization, we believe that we can be leaders in the area. And so we really took that approach. You know, back in the spring, we were the first youth sports program to officially cancel and offer a refund opportunity for everybody. We were one of the first youth sports organizations to announce that we were going to have camps. And, you know, as we kind of look back at some of those decisions, you know, we really felt like we just want to be leaders. We want to show hope. We want to show positivity. We want to show that we can do it and do it safely. And so, you know, having kind of those experiences and a lot of those conversations we had back in the spring and early summer gave us a lot of just positive and just a lot of reinforcement towards we can run stuff in the fall. We just got to do it safely and we got to do it wisely. And so truthfully, man, to answer your question, that can be answered probably 1,000 different ways. But ultimately for us as our sports staff and church staff really started to just really dive in on the importance of our community, we felt like relationships and fellowship were so valuable. You know this, Brad, like a lot of people listening, youth sports is truly about competition and athletic development, right? That's really why a lot of people want to do sports. They want to achieve different things. They want to win trophies. They want to do this. They want to do that, which is all awesome, and I am all for that. But if you kind of peel back the onion, at the core of youth sports is relationships. It's the relationship between the players themselves, relationship between the coaches and the players, relationship between the parents and the coaches. You know, all that is just built on the fundamental idea of relationships. And for us, again, as a sports ministry, we wanted to really emphasize how valuable the relationships were. And, you know, kind of during this time, it feels like almost everybody's been kind of stripped away from the accessibility to meet together, right? I mean, that was just kind of the biggest thing, maintain your physical distance. And so, you know, the reality is that youth sports create a social space where families can build community. And so if we've been told that we can't do that or it's going to require this or that, you know, it really challenges the kind of organic development that youth sports create. And so, again, using that ministry backing that we have, we just really believed that through all the resources, and through all the opportunities that our soccer program can create for families, we really wanted to try to bless the community with an opportunity to participate. And we knew it wasn't going to be for everybody, and we knew that there was going to be some limitations we would have to set up, and we knew that at the end of the day, you know, if people weren't comfortable doing it, that's totally fine. But we just felt like in order for us to be good stewards of the members that we currently have and of the resources that God's blessed our program with, we wanted to move forward just to create the opportunity. Man, if you look at kind of who we are as an organization, you know, our mission is to foster spiritual and athletic development for everyone involved. And so, again, this just speaks to the relational opportunities that our sports program creates. This includes players and parents and spectators, coaches, referees, scorekeepers, everybody involved. I mean, that's what we do. And so, man, ultimately, we really had no clue. We had no idea what the response would be, but we just felt like, again, going back to the conversations we had in the spring, the conversations we had in the early summer, that we wanted to be leaders in Central Kentucky, we were going to commit to it, we were going to get people on board, and at the end of the day, we just felt like we wanted to offer the opportunity to every family. And so we wanted to use our platform to provide hope. We wanted to give our members a chance to continue their community if they missed out in the spring, and we wanted to just really shine a light on what we're doing and that we can do it really, really well and really, really safe.
Amen to that. Jeremy, you and I have talked before, and one of the best men I ever knew always talked about life is about relationships, and you explained it to a T right there. ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5, The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor and Jeremy Hobbs, the recreation director at IM Third. Soccer programs are huge at IM Third. What precautions are you taking there to ensure the safety of these kids that are participating in these programs?
Well, first, Brad, let me just say that I want to give a lot of credit to our local kind of youth sports leaders. Man, the youth sports industry in general over the past 5 or 6 months have really just been great. We've been able to partner and connect with, man, really dozens of local, regional, and national organizations to kind of share insights and best practices and resources so that everyone could kind of row in the same direction, right? We knew we couldn't do this alone. I mean, at the end of the day, talking to different people, we knew that we would have to put a team around us to help make this safe and smart for everybody. And we knew that is a really uphill battle. So for our fall soccer program, you know, our protocols are firm. They're strict. But ultimately, at the end of the day, we wanted families to feel comfortable being in our spaces and being on these teams. We asked every household to agree to a fairly lengthy waiver. But, man, some of the adjustments that we've made, I think, have really made a really big difference. And our attack of this was to be very proactive, right? We were going to try to control as much as we can control, and we wanted to create a safe environment so that everyone that stepped foot on a soccer field knew that the precautions were in place and the guidelines were agreed upon, and so they could participate in a safe environment. And so some examples here, right? We've spaced out a lot of our practices to allow transitions for teams. So that doesn't just mean the field. That means parking lots as well. So we've kind of limited some practice times and we've adjusted some things. We've moved some fields around, again, to eliminate some of the congested areas. You know, our kind of main population of soccer players are those all kind of beginning soccer, 3, 4, 5, 6-year-olds. And they tend to bring the most crowds to practices and games. And so we've had to kind of tweak the way that our fields look so that those families could still bring some friends and other people to the games and practices, but they could do it in a safe way. We've swapped out our water cooler stations for hand sanitizer stations. And so we've got hand sanitizer stations placed everywhere where our fields are. All of our game day staff and practice supervisors are COVID screened prior to even arriving at the fields. And so these are just, like I said, a handful of proactive ways that we're trying to control the environment as much as we can. Along with our sports staff, we've also got a couple board members and a couple church staff who are part of a kind of quote-unquote COVID reentry team. And so, again, I just really felt like, man, we couldn't do this alone. We needed some people who could kind of help give us some guidance and some insight into some things that we're just not going to be, you know, familiar with. A lot of the other things that we've offered or taken away, you know, unfortunately, we can't offer team benches. You know, something that's been a huge fixture for our leagues for a long time is we do parent tunnels at the end of the game man, unfortunately, we're having to take those away, which I know a lot of parents were bummed about. You're used to seeing, in most youth sports environments, you're used to seeing post-game handshakes. We're going to ask families and players to replace those with just, a strong round of applause. I can kind of go through line by line. The list is awfully lengthy, but at the end of the day, we wanted families to feel confident and just really, really trusting that our church ministry is making safety their top priority. And certainly the first couple of weeks, there were a lot of concerns, but we felt like we handled those diligently and with grace. And now that we're 3 weeks into the season, we're starting our first games there on September 12th. I believe everything's gotten a lot better and people are getting a lot more comfortable with kind of the limitations that we've set in place.
ESPN Radio 1300 92.5. The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor and Jeremy Hobbs, the recreation director at I Am Third. You mentioned your season's a few weeks old. It's now September now. We're at Labor Day weekend. How do you see the next couple of months playing out at I Am Third, and what will you be offering the rest of this calendar year?
So we've got really a strong set of programs really set up for us and planned. So we're 3 weeks into our soccer season, like you mentioned. We'll kind of wrap that up towards the end of October. We do have some three-year-old soccer classes that are starting next week that are really pumped about. We've got 75 three-year-olds enrolled for those classes, and so those will launch next week. Currently, we're partnering internally with a ministry at Centenary called the Centenary School, and we're hosting a virtual learning, quote-unquote, camp for students. And so we've got students split up in classrooms downstairs at our church in vacant Sunday school rooms. And we're giving them an opportunity to connect with their teachers, electronically through all the virtual calls and stuff. And then after lunch, our sports staff and some of our interns are taking the students, and we're doing some fitness activities and some sports, again, just to kind of give them that social outlet and that fitness and exercise side of things that they've been missing out on. And so we've currently got just about 50 students enrolled for that, which has been going great. Man, coming up, we've got plans to partner with a local volleyball club called Alpha Performance, and we're looking forward to them hosting a four-week clinic for volleyball. We've got a tennis clinic set for hopefully October, a 4 to 6 week clinic that we're planning to work with a few different folks to organize that and facilitate that. And then heading towards the end of October, early November, we've got plans for our 5-on-5 basketball league to start up. And then going towards December and then into the new year, we've got another season of winter indoor soccer set to launch. So lots of opportunities, lots of options for families, all ages. So if you're looking for something to jump back into youth sports, or you missed out on some stuff in the spring, maybe you sat out the fall season, we've got a lot of really good opportunities for families going into this late fall, early winter, and then definitely after the new year.
The good people at I Am Third do amazing work with the youth of Lexington, and I can't recommend these guys anymore. It's Jeremy Hobbs, the recreation director at I Am Third. Jeremy, tell the good folks where we could get in touch with you on social media and on the internet to find out more information about what you offer.
Absolutely. So you can reach us at our website. That's probably the best place to start. It's iamthird.org. That's a 3RD, so iam3rd.org. We got great information there for you guys to check out. We are on lots of social media platforms. Our handle is at iamthirdsports, and so you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We're really everywhere. So our offices are located at Centenary Church, and so anybody is obviously welcome to stop by and visit us. We've got a great staff. We've got interns. We've got people that are just working all the time over there, and we're just very fortunate to be at Centenary, and we're very thankful that Centenary has been just a huge support for us. Like I said, started since 1997, and we're still here.
Amen to that. Jeremy Hobbs, the recreation director at I Am Third, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and all our best wishes to what you guys offer the youth of Lexington. It's great stuff. God bless you, my friend.
All right, Brad. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. That was Jeremy Hobbs, the recreation director at I Am Third. You can check him out online, iamthird.org. That's iamthird.org. Coming up after the break, NFL win totals, some pizza money props, and of course later, the most profitable segment in Lexington Radio, our Mac Daddy Stogie picks. But first, J&R Construction, our good friend Jimmy Skinny McKinney. If you're looking to design, build, or remodel at your home, J&R Construction is an award-winning home remodeling company, and now they're virtual. You can have virtual appointments in these times of social distancing. J&R Construction helps everyone enjoy the process with top-shelf customer service and quality service because they think like we think here on The Bottom Line, relationships matter. So for all your home remodeling needs, check out J&R Construction, 633 West Main Street here in Lexington. Phone number 859-225-0162 or check them out online, jrcsi.com. NFL pizza money props coming up next. The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor, ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5. ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5. It's The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor, and it's time for everybody's favorite activity, getting your action down on NFL win totals, because as we all know, or judging by the attendance, we don't know, the NFL season is starting this Thursday night. And this Thursday night in Kansas City, Missouri, not Kansas City, Kansas, as our president said earlier this year, the NFL season will get underway. We live through the windshield, not the rearview mirror. We're looking forward here on The Bottom Line. NFL win totals. We live by one rule of thumb here when it comes to NFL win totals. We like to look at the number 8. That's the magic number. Kind of like the number 7 is the magic number at the craps table. The number 8 is the magic number in NFL win totals. We're looking for numbers below 8 that we could go over and numbers above 8 that we could go under. Because the NFL, as we all know, is a league driven by parity. And teams who can be good one year can be lousy the next, unless you're the New England Patriots the last 20 years. But we're looking for bad teams to overachieve and good teams to underachieve. And to get things started, we're going to start with the Cincinnati Bengals because we're contractually obligated to start with the Bengals because they are the hometown team. And every game will be heard on our sister station 92.1 Classic Rock here at LM Communications. The over-under win total for the Bengals, 5.5. Zach Taylor, the coach, no relation, thank goodness, in his second year, last year 2-14 straight up, but 7-9 against the spread, so even in a lousy season, they lived up to expectations. That tells you about the talent level on this team. Of course, we all know Joe Burrow, the number one pick and the new quarterback. Is AJ Green healthy? Should really have an idea where this team stands in the first two games when they play the Chargers and the Browns first 2 weeks. But it's tough to put your money on a rookie quarterback, especially in a season where he had no preseason games. Conventional wisdom would say go over 5.5, but I don't believe in Joe Burrow because he hasn't had any preseason games. They do have some winnable games this year. Week 4 against Jacksonville, week 11 at Washington, week 12 at Miami. Those are winnable games. Could they get to 6? Oh yeah, they could get to 6. I don't see it though. We'll stay away from this one because I can't see the Bengals going 6-10 with a rookie quarterback who still hasn't ran out onto a football field in a Bengals uniform yet. But we do have several win total plays for this year. Let's look at our overs. We've got 5 of them. The Arizona Cardinals, win total 7. Cliff Kingsbury, the coach, he was 5-10-1 last year, but 9-7 against the spread, so they didn't give up. They averaged 22.6 points a game last year, and they had DeAndre Hopkins. And Kyler Murray is a desert dark horse to win the NFL MVP this year. Arizona catches a division where the Rams might be down, the Seahawks might be down. There's some foreshadowing on what's coming up later in this segment. Cardinals over 7 win total. Carolina Panthers, we like year one coaches to go over when there's nothing expected of them. Matt Rhule is one of those coaches this year. Carolina 5.5 wins out in the desert. Teddy Bridgewater's now in town. Oh, by the way, their new offensive coordinator, Joe Brady, was the guy who made Joe Burrow a superstar last year at LSU. This is my favorite win total of the season. Over 5.5 for the Carolina Panthers. Now we get into an addition by subtraction team. The LA Chargers. Gone is Phillip Rivers. Gone is Melvin Gordon. New stadium, though. Same old coach and Anthony Lynn. But this is a team last year. They went 5-11, but they were only outscored by 0.5 points per game. So they were in every game. And they lost 9 games by a touchdown or less. And we always like to look for teams in this spot that did terrible last year against a point spread. Chargers were 5-11 straight up and 5-11 against the spread. No matter if it's Tyrod Taylor or Justin Herbert at quarterback, Chargers over 7.5. Then we're going to New York City, the Giants. One of our most despised professional athletes, Eli Manning, we'll get into that another day on this show. He's gone, finally. New coach, Joe Judge. Great running backs, Saquon Barkley. Daniel Jones, up-and-coming quarterback. Number one pick was an offensive tackle. 5.5 is the win total for the Giants. We're going over there and staying in the Big Apple. We'll take the Jets. Why are you taking the Jets? Adam Gase is a crazy man. Yes, he is a crazy man. But they've completely rebuilt their entire offense except their quarterback, Sam Darnold. And people forget last year at the end of the season, the Jets went 6-2 in the last 8 games. Win total 6.5. We'll take over 6.5 with the Jets. Now let's go to some disappointments. Let's go to some under teams. The Buffalo Bills. Oh, the Patriots aren't the same anymore, so the Bills will run roughshod. They won 10 games last year, but they did it scoring less than 20 points a game. Do you believe in Josh Allen, the quarterback? Neither do I. When you have a team that wins that many games and scores that few points, nowhere to go but down. Buffalo to go under 8.5. The LA Rams in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Now a team clearly headed in the wrong direction. Since the moment that Super Bowl ended and Belichick exposed the Rams for what they were, everything has gone wrong for this team. By the way, the Rams last year, 11-5 against the point spread. That's not continuing this year. We'll take the Rams to go under the total of 8.5 wins. And of course, the Seattle Seahawks. People have been writing off this team since they lost the Super Bowl 6 years ago. 9.5 wins for the Seahawks. They won 11 games in the regular season last year, but they only outscored their opponents by 7 points total. And they set a 28-year record for most close wins in a season by a touchdown or less. They had 10 of them. This is my favorite team to go under. Let's go under 9.5 on Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson is great, but you can't test the football gods like that forever. A couple of pizza money props we like to throw out there. We don't like to play MVPs, rookies of the year, or coach of the year because they're not objective. It's people in a smoke-filled room rooting on who they want to see win. We like numbers on a piece of paper to prove a winner. Our favorite pizza money prop, most passing yards this season. I looked down the list, 5th on the list, Tom Brady, plus 1,000. You're getting 10-1 on Tom Brady to lead the league in passing yards. A coach with a history of making all his quarterbacks statistical monsters. Heck, he made Jameis Winston a fantasy player last year. You've got great offensive skill position players. Tom Brady to lead the league in passing yards. You don't think he's got something to prove this year too? That it wasn't Belichick, it was him? Yeah, we'll take some of that pizza money. Tom Brady at 10-1 to lead the league in passing yards. And before you go into the season, we're going to give you this little tip. There are 3 quarterbacks that we here on the Bottom Line do not go against ever unless very extenuating circumstances. There are 3 quarterbacks we do not go against. Tom Brady in his career, 149 wins and 95 losses against the spread, 61% against the spread in his career, 20% return on investment. Aaron Rodgers, 109 and 78, that's 58% career, 14% return on investment. And Drew Brees, 141 wins, 111 losses, 56% against the spread, 10% return on investment career. Never, unless there's crazy circumstances, never go against those 3 quarterbacks unless you have very good reason. Because if you've made a practice of going against those 3 quarterbacks, you probably don't have enough money right now to have a radio to listen to this show. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Over the win total, Arizona, Carolina, the Chargers, the Giants, and the Jets. Under the win total, Buffalo, the Rams, and Seattle. A pizza money prop on Tom Brady to lead the league in passing yards at 10-1. And the numbers tell us you better have very good reason to ever go against Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, or Drew Brees. That's your NFL preview, and you can take those bad boys to the desert and smoke them. Coming up after the break, we'll look at today's card. We've got a play in Major League Baseball and a play in the Thursday night NFL game. But first, right now is a great time, and I mean a great time to get into real estate. And with that, you should be calling our good friend Trey McCauley. He has 17 years of experience in real estate, and he's got a 5-star rating on Zillow. You've heard his commercials here on ESPN Radio. He's committed to serving both residential and commercial real estate clients. And like all of our other sponsors here on the Bottom Line, he knows that relationships is what it's all about. So if you're looking into real estate, make sure to call our good friend Trey McCauley today. 859-312-7599 or check out his website, bestlexingtonhomes.com. The most profitable segment in Lexington radio, coming up after the break right here on ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5. ESPN Radio 1300 at 92.5 FM. It's The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Thank you so much for listening on this blessed Sunday morning. Without further ado, the most profitable segment in Lexington radio, our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks. Why are they called the Mac Daddy Stogies? Because you can light up that victory cigar before the game even starts. Two picks today, the NBA. The Houston Rockets are up 1-0 on the Lakers in the NBA playoffs. Favorites with a better record hit 57% of the time in 490 games. Favorites off a big loss of 10 points or more hit 57% of the time in 239 games. And when there's more money put on the favorites in the NBA playoffs, they hit 64% of the time against the spread in 187 games. All those three trends point to the Lakers today. Oh, by the way, the public is making a killing in the bubble so far. Any team getting more than 50% of the money out in the desert is covering 64% of the time in the bubble out of 187 games. The zigzag theory is dead. True gamblers out there know what I'm talking about with the NBA playoff zigzag theory. But we're going to take it home today. We don't like taking favorites, but there's too many trends and too many numbers that say this is the night the Lakers tie it up 1-1. Take the Lakers, give up a few points. Look for a big win by the Lakers tonight. And let's go to Thursday night. We've got NFL football. Houston and Kansas City. A little off-the-wall pick here. Let's look at the first half. The total points for the first half, 27, since 2005. If you go under the total in all games played in September, when the total is between 23 and 31.5, the under hits 56.5% of the time. 160 wins, 123 losses. That's a 7.4% return on investment. And if you put $1 on all those games, you'd be up $22.34. And throw in the fact that this year is a little bit different because no teams and no offenses have had any practice runs. This is the first game for everybody. These offenses may not be up to speed to start the season. We'll go under in the first half with a good first half trend and the fact we haven't seen any preseason games. Let's go under 27 the first half. Kansas City and Houston. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Take the Lakers as a favorite today. Let's go under 27 points in the first half on Thursday night. Why? Because we always root against human achievement. That's the way we make money here on The Bottom Line. You can take those bad boys to the desert and smoke them. We thank you so much for listening to The Bottom Line on this Sunday. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Bottom Line Lex. Make sure to tune in every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Tell your friends about us. We appreciate you listening. And until the next time, as always, may the winners be yours.